Shannon Prinetti, authors of The Treasure Within, An Archetypal Unfolding to Your Infinite Potential. Welcome.
Thank you, Suzanne. Thanks for having us.
So both of you are psychotherapists with over 40 years experience. You talk about archetypal pattern analysis. Just so everybody understands, could you tell us what exactly an archetype is?
Anything that comes into form. For instance, if you're going to build a building, you're usually going to get an architect to set up a blueprint so that everyone knows what different things to do to create the very building. And that's, archetypes are like a blueprint. They bring things into form through a specific way, which is why the fetus goes through those different weeks and changes. And the same baby from Botswana will look the same as one in Portland at 4 weeks. They will have the same level of development. Now, of course, there's sometimes anomalies, but basically that's an archetypal feel.
So think of it as a blueprint, and that form can't come into form without that blueprint. There was an original blueprint.
So as psychotherapists, how have you used this concept in your work?
Well, people align with some of the major archetypes. We all have to align with the archetype of the mother and the father, whether the person is there or not, or whether the sister plays the role of the mother, they're still playing the role of the archetypal mother. Of course, in psychotherapy, we're working partially with how we align with the archetype. Do we align with it positively? Do we align with it negatively?
Like, for instance, mother and father, because they're our major archetypes. They're so much of how we organize our life. We can't change the fact that we had a certain mother or a certain father. Maybe we never saw the father. Maybe it was even artificial insemination. But there's always someone there that you have to deal with in your life.
That takes on the role, the archetypal role of the mother and father. And then because they're all different, you're aligning with different aspects of the mother archetype, for instance. And what we want is to be aligning with most of the facets so that we know ourselves in relationship to all those different facets. And most of us just have a few. And particularly if they're non-generative, we really want to align with the generative aspects of the mother. And that can take a while, depending on the mother.
And the other thing about the mother and father archetype is that the mother helps develop our inner world of emotions and feelings and love and tenderness and nurturing and protection. And the father helps us develop our outer world. So that's the masculine and feminine. And so those are very important roles that we have in our life. Now, mothers can help develop our outer roles and take on that role, but then you still feel the missing of the father and helping you in that role.
So how could the average person apply this idea of archetypes in their daily life?
Well, there's so many ways to apply it, but I think looking at what our alignments are to the mother and father is really a significant way of applying it. And that's how one of the things that we really work on in our, you know, our daily practice with people. Mm-hmm. You know, the mother archetype is so significant in our life. You know, it's our primary relationship, of course, but
and so that's how we relate to ourselves.
Right.
What could you explain?
Well, we take in our mother, and then that's how we mother ourselves. So to broaden our archetypal experience of the mother, we want to learn all the generative ways that we can mother ourselves, and also learn all the negative ways to be able to make a choice to not do that.
So by generative here, you mean positive?
Well, it's more than positive.
It's like engender growth.
Yeah. What will really help us be all that we can be?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right,
it's a,
to really,
it's a really
support
a,
our potential.
Right.
Okay.
Our infinite potential. Our infinite potential, yes. Yeah.
Can you talk about how understanding different stages of life helps us to develop our potential? Because this is part of the aim of the book, for people to develop their full potential.
Right. To be on that road, because it's infinite. What we did was study Eric Neumann, who's a Jungian analyst. He was
Jung's favorite people, actually.
Yeah, and a really phenomenal a being. And he wrote a book, Origins and History of Consciousness. He had an archetypal developmental theory that lies in potential for all beings. So similar to the forms lying in potential is the development that we can become lies in potential for all of us. But so many people don't go very far on that developmental map.
Why not?
Some of it is that they don't even know the map exists. They don't know what their potential could even be. And when I work with people in my practice and they hear about how to come into their treasure of being, it's like something lights up inside of them that wasn't there before, because they haven't been told about this, you know, that this lies in potential for everyone. So the treasure is a place in development where you've transformed to a place where you know your purpose and you can bring your gifts, your unique gifts, because we all have our own set. But you know that I came to this life for this purpose, and I have these gifts to bring. And you start bringing those into the world. And I think that this is a lot of what is needed at this time. The more people that can attain their treasure and really know who they are, and that their true essence and their authentic self, these are the people that are going to be changing the world. These are the people that can change, you know, climate change and, you know, some of the really big things that we've got, gun controls and, you know, killings and all of that. Because once we get into that place, we're not in our reactive states anymore, and we're not projecting out into the world like, you know, there's someone to blame. You know, we're in a very different place in our life. Center of gravity.
I think that a lot of people can relate to wanting to find their true gifts and be able to express them.
Absolutely. Everybody wants that.
Yeah.
We're kind of wired to actually go there.
Right.
But you know, our culture doesn't exactly support that. It kind of says that that the stage of development where you can do abstract thinking is the farthest that you can go. And in the current research on adult development, the later stages of adult development, you can become a person who is really has their moral and their ethical and their wisdom available for the world.
What is it that prevents people from accessing or knowing those gifts? And how does archetypal patterning help us to discover or make more use of them?
Well, in our book, we lay out the stages of the Great Mother, which is the first 7 years of life plus in womb, and that is unconscious. Most people...
Just because the brain hasn't developed to be able to...
The brain hasn't developed well enough to go beyond that, to really go into a narrative and making meaning out of your life until you're after 7 years of age. That's... The most recent neuroscience says that. So during that period of time, what gets laid down is our value and worth first. And that's where most people get stuck. You know, if you talk to the majority of people, they will tell you, I don't feel good enough. I don't feel important.
And why does that have to do with the mother archetype?
Because the mother is the one that is in the oral stage of the Great Mother. You know, the mother has the baby in her arms, hopefully, not always though, and is feeding her or him. And if a mother is holding their baby and gazing in their eyes, their true essence as this beautiful being, this precious, precious being, they get oh, I am important. But if instead the mother feels her limitations, and that's what she's gazing into the eyes of her baby, or she's not gazing at all, then naturally what happens with infants is that they believe, I'm not important, or I would be treated that way. But the mother
and
is...
all of that kind of clogs the system. It kind of, it's over the treasure, and it has to be found with consciousness and cleared away so that the treasure can shine through.
And how is it found and cleared away?
Well, this is a big chunk of work, you know, usually when people come in and don't have that, because there's they want to push away those feelings rather than, we say, welcome them in, really embrace them, because all of these feelings and these thoughts have a story to tell, and they need to be honored.
And when they tell the story, they can then be acknowledged and released. But until that story is told, sometimes they just stay.
And a big missing experience for people is being seen, heard, and understood.
Right, really listened to.
And when that happens, it's transformative for people. So there's that piece, but there's also a point where people need to become a good mother to themselves.
Yeah, because we look at all the ways that they're behaving in their life that maybe they don't even like. We all have those places where we know we should eat better, we know we want to do our art, we know that, but we don't act on it. And those are the places that this kind of covering shows up.
So we work with people on becoming a good mother to themselves in all aspects of life so that they can really become their fullness.
And recognizing archetype is part of being able to repattern.
Yeah, the alignment that they have to the archetype is what we're looking at.
But you're right about that, because of the alignment, certain patterns automatically just engage the person, whether they're even choosing them or not. If you have a negative alignment, certain patterns are just going to erupt in your life. And I know you have that feeling when you're having an off day, and just everything does not go right. You can't find a parking place, your watch breaks, you know, there's a million things. And then there's the days where everything goes right. Everything, it's like the door just opens and magic happens. And that has to do with your alignment, really, to your deep, deep treasure.
Could this also be applied to a larger context, a social context or a political context?
Let's look at Trump for a moment. You know, he is a perfect example of alignments with the mother and the father. He had a crushing father that we call castrating father, because they just, you know, cut you to the bone. That's the kind of father he had. That's what he knows how to do. That's what he is doing. So that alignment of narcissism has not been dealt with. Mm-hmm. And in order to have a father like that, you've got a mother that's submissive, that stands by and watches while their child is being crushed. Both of those make huge impressions.
Knowing that about Trump, that he had a crushing father archetype and that affected how he acts now, mm-hmm. What can we do with that information?
Right, well, we need to look at how we're acting similarly to Trump. I'm sure that we don't do it on the level that he does it. But I'm sure that you wanted to do something this morning and you said, no, you can't do that. You have to go to work. It's those ways in which we proliferate the same kind of crushingness. And that's what we want to clear, because the treasure's underneath that.
Look at what our culture is going through right now. What is this an expression of? You know, in archetypal pattern analysis, what we've learned is not to look at things pathological, but to look at what is a perfect expression of what is unfolding, that everything that is unfolding is a perfect expression. And so why did we need, and I'm going to underline need, a president like Trump? He's doing a service to our country. It's bringing all the underbelly of stuff that has been in the shadow for a long time to the surface so that we can see it. Now we can do something about it.
And we can say no to it consciously instead of going along with it.
Whenever there's something outside of us, what we've been trained to do is look inside. That where we can really make a difference is our own growth and development, and our own, becoming more and more conscious. So if we look at ways that we're like Trump internally and start to shift those ripples go through our families, they go through our communities, they go into the world, they go globally. You know, it's like if you throw a pebble in a pond, it ripples forever.
So self-transformation is also social transformation.
And I think that that's why we were asked to write this book. Mm-hmm. You know, this book moved through us. It wasn't something we consciously said, we're going to write this. It was a force that moved through us. Mm-hmm. And it came out at this time, because we worked on it for many years, came out at this time. And it is a map for people of how to transform and do individual healing that then becomes collective healing.
Mm-hmm. Are there some particular practices that you offer in the book to help people find their treasure within?
In those first 7 years of life, that's what you're learning, what your inner life is, how it's being, the shelves and the things that you can put things on are being developed. And so many people, their families just couldn't support them. And so they don't have that inner refuge. And creating that inner refuge is really looking at how you can take care of yourself. And the places where you just want to, like you don't want to brush your teeth before you go to bed at night, those kinds of things are the way that it shows the places where you're out of alignment with your inner refuge. Not that you have to brush your teeth for your inner refuge, but...
But it sounds like that's a lot of what Diane talked about in terms of learning, given your whatever mother archetype you had, learning how to remother yourself. Is it the same thing?
To really develop a generative inner refuge means looking at any places that are out of alignment for your full potential.
And it's not easy because your patterns are usually going against that really creating that inner refuge. So it takes some outside help. It takes some mentoring.
But to go back to practices, there is an appendix in our book called Mindful Awareness, and it does go into the practices that you can do to not believe the stories of the mind and use them actually for what is your next step in healing. But most people believe that they are their thoughts and feelings. And how limiting is that? Because really, we're this vast spaciousness of, awareness.
Wait a minute. You're saying we're not our thoughts and feelings?
We are not.
Well, we're more than our thoughts and feelings. But we seem to just, our culture in particular, seems to say that we're our thoughts and feelings. And that thinking and business is the most important thing. And what Diane's talking about is something much wider than that. She's talking about the treasure of our being, where we're really connected to our soul, and the soul is moving through us, guiding us instead of our negative patterns.
It's what Jung called the self, capital S.
It seems to me that we live in an abusive culture, and many people who might otherwise be well are sick simply because they're mistreated, exploited, abused, and traumatized. So I'm wondering, is it possible to do this work on a cultural level?
There's 9 great myths that really typify how the unconscious develops. And our culture is kind of caught in the hero. The next stage is to go into the transformation, where the hero starts actually looking at himself and finding what was left behind. For instance, nature kind of pushes us along. Maybe we didn't want to be an adolescent, but our hormones came in and then we were an adolescent. And everything that wasn't right in our family, maybe we couldn't be angry, maybe we couldn't express our sexuality, that all got put back in the unconscious. And then it's a barrier to finding our treasure. So going back and finding what we need to rescue is really where the culture needs to go next. And I think we're really pushing against that, because we don't need to rescue coal. Coal is not what we need to rescue. We need to rescue the different parts of ourselves that have not gotten to live their full potential.
When those kind of traumas happen that you were just talking about, whether they happen, you know, in our childhood or they can happen in adulthood, that, you know, parts get split off so that we're developing, like Shannon was saying, you know, development pulls us through. But, you know, some parts of us, I mean, we all have many, many aspects of self, and some of those parts are pretty young yet. And what happens is that, you know, something will happen in the outer world and it will trigger that young part that got hurt, and then we're in a reactive state. This is a lot of what's happening with killing in the schools.
And you really notice it in traffic. I'm sure everyone listening has had the experience of wanting to project out on the person in front or next to them.
So you're saying that in those situations, projection is at work because people haven't claimed that part of themselves?
They don't look at what is the reaction that I'm having, and this is mine.
Where does it come from?
What is this about? What is the story that's trying to be revealed through this?
And that's the work that you're doing.
We teach people how to bring in those projections. And, you know, it's not about anyone out here. You know, I mean, the fact that you're angry because somebody cut in front of you, well, yeah, it's not a good thing. But what's this big reaction that you're having? That's because somebody cut in front of you or undercut you early in your life. Or there's some big traumas that you know, activates. But if we pull in that and say, gee, you know, I wonder what that's about, and just sit with it for a while, it will get revealed.
In the last section of your book, you talk about the higher levels of adult development. Can you say what this is about? I mean, I thought once you get to be an adult, that's it.
That's what a lot of people think. Well, there's quite a variety from what I was talking about with the ways people are thinking and taking responsibility for themselves. And
remember, they've owned their projections. They're no longer projecting out anything on anybody else. So they're taking responsibility for themselves, and they're world-centric. They're not just looking after their own family, their own people. They're looking after everyone. They want the best for everyone.
What's the betterment of all beings? That's part of it. And these states go into what's called awakened or enlightened states of unity, where, you know, you're able to anchor yourself beyond thoughts and feelings. Not that those won't arise, but you see them for what they are. But you're really anchored in a whole different place within yourself. You're really living your true essence.
So one last question. Why do you think it's worth it to find the treasure within?
All human endeavor is in search of happiness. And most people find little bits of happiness, like they buy a new piece of clothing, for instance, and they're happy for, you know, a few hours or maybe a few days. But it's not lasting. When you're living your treasure, you found that happiness, because it doesn't come and go. It's everlasting. You feel a sense of love, seeing beauty in everything and everyone. There's contentment and peace and joy. And these are states that don't just come and go, because they are our essence. And this is always here. This isn't something that you develop. This state is here always for us, but it's eclipsed by our thoughts and feelings and what we call the ego. And when we're listening to thoughts and feelings and believing that that's who we are, we don't have access to that part of ourselves that is our treasure. That's why we need to do the work to clear and integrate those parts of self that got left behind, so that we really can know our treasure.
And I think some more examples are those people that we see that are clearly doing work for the world, that their own needs are not what's focusing them. You look at President Carter, who, you know, falls down, has to go to the hospital, and then is out building homes for other people. You look at Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who is holding a place for all the progressives, even though she's had cancer and all the different things. She's not doing that out of her own ego. She's doing that for the world. So I think anyone who we revere in that way, where we can see that their needs is not what drives them, it's helping others and helping the world move to a higher level of consciousness, really.
I've been talking today with authors Shannon Pernetti and Diane Steinbrecher, who have just published a book, The Treasure Within, An Archetypal Unfolding to Your Infinite Potential. If people want to find this book, where can they go?
They can find it on Amazon. It's at Paul's and Barnes & Noble.
Well, thank you so much today for being a guest on Radio Zine.
It was really fun to do this with you, Suzanne.
Thank you, Suzanne, for inviting us.
Thank you. I am Suzanne LeGrand, and this is Radio Zine on KBOO Portland.